We're now going into the five pillars of financial literacy. Pillar number one is the basic understanding of a word called economics. Now, I know some people fall asleep at that subject and all this, but if you're going out, going to work, buying a house, buying a car, shopping, you're part of the economy and understanding economics. The primary reason a person would like to understand economics is so that you're not as afraid of the ups and downs of the economy. Because economics is really a boom and bust cycle. Things go up and things come down. It's no big deal. The more you can understand about basic economics, the more calm you'll be, the more neutral. The word is neutral. So you're not afraid of booms and busts. In fact, the rich really get much richer during times of busts, and the middle class actually get wiped out during times of busts. So the more you understand, the more able you are to handle your own personal economy and fit into the global economy. So if I give you a little bit of my background, you know, I didn't do that well in school, but I didn't find school very interesting. The two subjects I really did like, I loved history and I loved economics. And the more I studied world history, I realized world history was really a study of economics. For instance, when you studied about Columbus, you know, Columbus wasn't in search of America. Columbus was in search of a faster trade route to the Far East, to India. So Columbus was really, you know, part of the economic cycle. At that point, they needed to expand the trade routes. So when I was in the fifth grade, the subject I really enjoyed was the subject of the great explorers, the great pirates, they call them, Columbus, Magellan, Vasco da Gama, Pizarro, Cortez, and those guys. And they were really, although people say they were out looking for new lands, they were actually out looking for new economies to prosper with. One of the reasons people become a little hesitant about money and its subject is that what we have today is not really money. What we have today is a thing called fiat money. If I could explain how money as we know it today got started and why it's called fiat money. In the early days of trade, you had a person coming from Egypt maybe to Paris, and he or she would carry gold on their camels or whatever and go across, and they're always afraid that somebody was going to rob them. So what they would do instead, they would leave the gold in a safe in, let's say, Italy or Egypt, where they were from, and they would carry a piece of paper. And they'd carry that piece of paper to, let's say, Paris, and they would exchange that piece of paper. That piece of paper represented gold in storage. So the person could then travel from, let's say, Paris back to Egypt and say, I'm here to collect my gold. And that's how money really got started. In the old days, money was backed by hard assets, i.e. gold or silver. That was traditionally it. But what came out of that was when governments realized that it was much easier not to have gold or silver back in their money, and they created a thing called fiat money. And what fiat money means is the government backs it. So the reason the U.S. dollar is so strong today, although sometimes I don't think it should be, it's so strong is because the U.S. government is so strong. So a government with strong military, good, you know, legal structures inside of it and all this, the more confidence people have in the government to maintain the affairs or the business of government, the more valuable the dollar becomes. So today I travel the world and I watch foreign exchange constantly. For example, right now, the Australian dollar is 50 cents to the U.S. dollar, which means it takes two Australian dollars to buy one U.S. dollar. I find that interesting because back in the 1970s, when I first went to Australia, the Australian dollar was stronger than the U.S. dollar. In other words, it took 1.3 U.S. dollars to buy one Australian dollar. And the thing has shifted so much because the world economy has said we have less confidence in the Australian government to manage the affairs of their business. And that's why when I watch the foreign exchange and currency and all this, it is part of a global economy. The thing I watch out for is a shift in economy. For instance, we all remember not too long ago, back in the 1980s, when Japan was the top of the world. The yen was king and all that. The yen is still fairly strong. I remember the yen, it was 360 yen to one U.S. dollar. Today, it's almost at parity where it's, you know, 100 yen equals 100 cents of the dollar. If the Japanese, the Chinese, or the Koreans come on really strong, we'll see our dollar get weaker. And that is one of the risks of understanding global economies. You have to watch the powers of government to be, because if our dollar gets weaker, then inflation goes through the roof. If inflation goes through the roof, it hurts the weakest. It doesn't hurt the rich. The rich actually get richer with inflation, whereas the poor get poorer with inflation. So that's starting at the macro level of global economy. When you come down to the micro level, each and every one of us has our own little economy. So what affects us on the micro level, most of us know, is gasoline prices. The reason for that is gasoline is such a necessary part of our everyday lives. So if oil goes from $10 a barrel to $30 a barrel, it affects all of us. The point here is this. If it affects all of us, some people win and some people lose. The reason you want to study economics is because you want to stay on the winning side. So years ago, when I saw the price of oil going down, that's when I started investing in oil companies. And everybody said, why are you investing in oil companies? You know, because their profits are bad, the price per barrel is going bad and all this. The reason I started investing in oil companies was I knew that prices go down and then they come up. And the reason they come up is when oil prices go down, entrepreneurs stop drilling for oil because it doesn't make business sense. You know, you can't make enough money at it. So the moment the price of oil comes back up to, let's say, $30 a barrel, all the entrepreneurs run in again. So that's what I mean by cyclical. So when things get really bad in an economy, I think it's really good. And so part of the economy is really to have your mind thinking that if something is bad, it also could be good.